Thank you for being here this morning. If you're on campus, thank you for worshiping with us online at home. We're just so grateful to be worshiping God together. And before we open God's Word, I have some exciting news to share with you. Today, at 11 a.m., we are launching our youth in-person service right here in this same spot. So we're excited for that. And so 11 a.m., starting this week, there'll be a weekly youth in-person service for The Ascent. That's the name of our youth ministry for junior high and high school. And so we invite any student in those grades between junior high and high school to come worship in person starting today at 11 a.m. And that service will also be live streamed every week. And so there are options. And so we are so thankful for this opportunity. We're so thankful for our youth pastor, Pastor Kevin Ahn, our junior high director, Tim Callahan, and their entire team for making this possible. Now, for those of you who are worshiping here, as you normally do every week, you can we kindly ask that you take your chair and put them in the racks when we're done here this morning, because then they'll come back, they'll clean them and put them back. And so thank you for kindly doing that at the end of this service. Well, today we're going to talk about kindness. Now, here's the thing about kindness. Doesn't it seem like there are just some people who are just naturally kind? It's almost as if they can't help but be kind. It's like they were born kind. Maybe you know someone like that. If you don't know anybody like that, just walk into a Chick-fil-A, all right? And you know what I'm talking about. May I help you? My pleasure. May I take that for you? May I wash your car for you? No, that would be nice. That would be nice. But it just seems like some people are born with a sweet disposition. For the rest of us, right here, kindness takes a lot of hard work. It's not something that comes naturally or easily for most people. But if you'd like to be a kinder person today, if you'd like to be better at demonstrating kindness, if you'd like to be more like those people who seem to be so good at being kind, I've got good news for you today. I've got hope for you today. And it's found in the Word of God. We can become kinder. We can become better at demonstrating kindness. And by the way, if you're sitting there, whether it's at home or here on our parking lot, if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, it's too late for me, I can't change, it's just too hard, I'm already set in my ways, I'm too rough around the edges, I just speak my mind, I say what I want, when I want, how I want, everyone else, they can just take care of themselves. It's just not my thing. I'm just not a kind person. If you're thinking any of those things, my prayer is that God would change your mind, that He would change your heart. Because, church, kindness changes everything. There is power in kindness. Are you familiar with this bar that I'm holding in my hand? Have you seen this bar in the market? Maybe it's in your pantry. It's a kind bar. It's a delicious bar. This one is a salted caramel, dark chocolate, almond kind bar. Pretty much everything I enjoy in life, all wrapped up in one bar. Salted caramel, dark chocolate, almond kind bar. Now, when you turn this bar over, on the back, you'll find written the motto of the company Kind. And the motto of the Kind bar is this: do the kind thing for your body, your taste buds, and your world. Do the kind thing for your body, your taste buds, and your world. The founder and CEO of Kind, Daniel Lubetsky, he shares the most amazing story behind the name of the company. In order to find the story and its origin, you have to go all the way back to the Holocaust. You see, Daniel Lubetsky's father was a Holocaust survivor. And Daniel shares a story that his father shared with him when he was younger. Daniel's father shared with him that while he was at the concentration camp, one day, the German soldier assigned to guard him quietly tossed him a potato while the other guards weren't watching. And Daniel's father shared with Daniel that it was that one potato that gave him the will and the courage to live. In the midst of darkness, Daniel's father saw light and hope because of the actions of one German soldier. You know, the next time I eat a Kind bar, which will be later today, I'll think of that amazing story. I hope you will as well. There's a purpose behind the name Kind. There's power in kindness. I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, to verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. This is our passage for this series. And the Apostle Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." The word kindness in the New Testament, it comes from the Greek word Christos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S, Christos. And the definition of the word Christos is a softening or mellowing of something that was once harsh. Very vivid. Christos, to be kind, is a softening or mellowing of something that was once harsh. One definition of kindness is tender-hearted care. What do you do with tough meat? You tenderize it. You soften it. What do you do with a hard soul? You soften it. Kindness is humbly giving ourselves to others, especially when we think they don't deserve our kindness. It's so easy to be kind to people who are kind to us. The true test of kindness is when we know in our hearts that person doesn't deserve it, that person doesn't show any gratitude back to me, that person treats me poorly. The true test of kindness is humbly giving ourselves to others, no matter what we receive in return. And that's why kindness, it doesn't flow out of me naturally. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work. And that's why Christian kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And it must be empowered by the Spirit. This morning, I have two very simple points to my message. I want to make this as very straightforward as possible. So I have two very simple points. And I begin with this: God's kindness to us. We'll start with God's kindness to us. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul writes this to a spiritual son, Titus, who's to share it with his congregation. And he writes this in verses 4 and 5. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You know, the next time we decide to withhold kindness from somebody else, maybe we ought to refer back to Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. It was God's loving kindness that saved us. The next time we think that someone isn't worthy of our kindness, maybe we ought to just go walk in front of a mirror and look at the person staring back at us, the undeserving person whom God saved. You know, biblical kindness is a theme that runs throughout the entire Bible from start to finish. There are dozens upon dozens of passages that we can refer to on this theme of kindness. I want to draw your attention to just one Old Testament passage that I believe gives us some of the most, the clearest example of God's kindness to us. It's found in Hosea. I invite you to turn to Hosea chapter 11. In Hosea chapter 11, we're going to read to you verses 1 through 4. And as you make your way there, let me say that Hosea chapter 11 is a very vivid picture of a parent and a child. So you have to have that imagery in your mind when you read Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. A parent and a child. And then beyond that, I want you to feel the pain in these words. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness and with bands of love. And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. I bent down to them and fed them. This passage recalls the innocence of the early days of Israel when they were delivered from bondage. You know, throughout the course of a child's life, there are so many milestones. And one of the most vivid and memorable milestones is a child's first steps. It's an exciting milestone, mostly for the parent, right? I mean, the kid takes a few steps, falls, and cries, okay? But for the parent, it's a joyous milestone. And usually you try to capture it on camera. And behind the camera, you hear the parent screaming, "Woohoo! Good job! Way to go!" It's a wonderful milestone. But at that moment, little does the parent know that their world is about to change. It's about to get much, much harder. They'll have to start baby-proofing everything, putting pads on the corners of all their furniture. They're going to put latches on the insides of cabinet doors. The entire living room is going to turn into primary colors. And it'll stay that way for many, many years. You know, as a baby takes his or her first steps, there's a sense of excitement, but there's also the realization that so much more work lies ahead. So much more work. So much more back-breaking work. Because as your child learns to walk, what happens is you have to bend down and help the child walk. That's back-breaking work. Eventually, as the child gets a little bit bigger, you change from this position to then this position. And there's no greater feeling than to hold your child's hand as your child walks beside you. You know, now that our kids are both away at college, sometimes Joanne will text the kids pictures of our excursions with our German Shepherd, Kingston. So now that both of our kids are at the respective campuses, Joanne and I, we just spend a lot of time with Kingston. We take him to dog parks all over Southern California, take him by the coast, take him on hiking trails. And every now and then, Joanne will text our kids a picture of us on one of these excursions. And recently, she sent a picture to our kids, to which Amanda replied that Kingston is now our only child. He's our only child. He's the only one left at home. Come to think of it, he does seem a little extra clingy these days. I think he senses that. You know, when I'm in the backyard and I have something to do, I'll walk from one point to another, and then he just follows me. Then I'll walk to another point, and my dog just keeps following me. In my mind, I'm thinking, that's too tiring. Why don't you just sit and just watch me go back and forth? But no, he wants to walk with me here, walk with me over there, and back over there. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the symbol of walking pictured the idea of walking with God. In other words, trusting and obeying God. You see, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. When the Bible says Enoch walked with God and Noah walked with God, what that meant was that they trusted and they obeyed God. To walk with God is to trust and obey Him. Israel had to learn again to walk with God because they were in bondage for 400 years. And so God patiently and He lovingly taught them. He didn't give up on them. That's the kind of love that God has for us. You know, there's a word in the Old Testament that's used to describe this kind of kindness from God. It's the word chesed. H-E-S-E-D. And the best way to define the word chesed is to view it as God's kind, unchanging, and undying love. It is His loving kindness to us that leads us to repentance. You can read about that in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. God's kindness is a starting point for biblical kindness. That leads us now to my second point for this morning. And that is God's kindness through us. It begins with God's kindness to us, and it continues with God's kindness through us. And because this is the month of October, and because by now you know this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I'm going to approach this second section from the standpoint and the context of the home. God's kindness through us, specifically beginning with the home. You know, one in every four homes has experienced some type of domestic abuse. One in four women and one in seven men have experienced severe physical violence by an intimate partner. In the U.S. alone, an average of 20 adults every single minute experiences physical violence at the hands of an intimate partner. And on a typical day, domestic violence hotlines throughout the nation, they receive over 20,000 calls. Church, kindness must begin in the home. It must begin in the home. Because what takes place in the home eventually makes its way out the front doors and into every area of our lives. What happens in the home has a far-reaching impact on every area of our lives. If we can get it right in the home, we'll be well on our way to becoming kinder people. You know, there's power in biblical kindness, and it starts in the home, and it begins every morning when we wake up to the start of a brand new day. We sang that song today, Made New. Every single day is a new opportunity for us to demonstrate kindness, and it begins in the home. And before I go any further, church, if you're watching online, if you're here in person, I'm going to ask you to do this for me. I'm going to ask you to resist the temptation to think that it is just too late for you. I am who I am. I'm not going to change. I've already made choices that I regret, and I'm paying the consequences for them. My family won't listen to me. My family doesn't respect me. It doesn't matter what I do from here on out. It won't make a difference. I'm going to ask you, please, to resist the temptation to think that. Yesterday is yesterday. Today is a new day. Tomorrow is a new day. And if I may, I have another big favor to ask, and that's this. I want to encourage all of us not to allow the actions of others to prevent us from cultivating a culture of kindness in our homes. It's possible that you were raised in an unkind home. It's possible that you were abused. It's possible that you were a victim of violence at the hands of someone else. This is a big ask on my part. But I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome past experiences and we can foster a culture of kindness in our homes today. God can use you to be the starting point of a brand new legacy. Tonight, when you go home, you're going to change into your pajamas to go to sleep. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you're going to change out of your pajamas into new clothing. Now, for some, that just might mean changing out of your nighttime pajamas into your daytime pajamas. Nevertheless, I hope you change some way. Every day when we wake up, we change our wardrobe. We change into new clothing. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote so much about clothing in his letters. I want to read to you from Colossians 3. I invite you to turn there if you'd like. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. In Colossians 3, starting in verses 12 and continuing to verse 14, Paul talks about spiritual clothing. And he writes this, "Put on then." In other words, clothe yourselves as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds them together in perfect harmony. Do you remember a few weeks ago, I said that in the New Testament, the writers, they were far more prone to writing to groups of people than they were to individuals. And even when they were writing to individuals, they were expecting them to pass it on to those around them. And whether it's in the church context or in the home context, every believer, together, collectively, we're called to put on these spiritual articles of clothing. Now, in order for us to put those on, we must first do something. That's to take something off. We're to take off our old garments. And Paul addresses that in the preceding verses, starting in verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. He says, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. In other words, just toss them off. Don't even store them in your closet thinking that they're going to come back in style someday. Just throw them away for good. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Those have no place in our wardrobe. That's what we were like in our former self. But we've been made new. The old is past, the new has come. We have a new nature with a brand new wardrobe. And yes, I know it is so hard because we are prone to losing our patience. We are prone to getting angry. We are prone to lashing out. But you know, it's no excuse. It really is no excuse because we have a new nature. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have no excuse because the Word of God tells us we have been made new. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the expression of God's kindness to us. Kindness isn't just merely a thought. Kindness is love in action. That's why the Bible says love is kind. Kindness at its very core involves reaching out. That's what God did for us in the person of Jesus Christ, and that's what He desires for us. That is why, church, at the very core of kindness is this understanding: sacrifice and going above and beyond. Kindness involves a sacrifice. To be kind when it's convenient is just convenience. Kindness involves a sacrifice. It involves going out of our way. Sure, it's nice when you drop somebody off on your way. But what if you were called to drop somebody off in the opposite direction? That takes sacrifice. That is true kindness. And I have so much to grow in this area of kindness. Because for me, kindness does not come easily. It does not come naturally. And I want to grow. I want to grow in kindness at home. I want to grow in kindness in my community. I want to grow in kindness here at church. I hope you do as well. And together we can. It's not too late to foster a culture of kindness. And if ever our nation and our world needs kindness, if ever, you know, it's right now. You know, for those raising children at home right now, consider the fact that the words that we speak, they don't go unheard, right? Because children are so perceptive. They pick up on everything, and they are constantly watching how we speak to one another and how we speak to them. They're watching how mom and dad talk to each other. They're watching how mom and dad talk about others to each other. They hear how mom and dad are talking about people on the news. Our children are perceptive. And then consider this. They will begin to emulate what they see in us. If we want our children to be kind, and who doesn't, right? Then it begins with us. We have to show them how to be kind. It's our responsibility to model kindness. And especially since we're spending so much more time as family units at home, it's that much more important for us to model kindness. And it doesn't matter whether they are toddlers or teens or grown adults. It's important that we model kindness to them. How we talk about current issues, how we talk about issues such as race and politics, that makes a huge impact on the lives of our loved ones, whether it's positive or negative. You know, lately we've been hearing so much about a polarized nation. Well, guess what? We have a growing number of polarized families and a growing number of polarized churches. You know, on the one hand, our current political season has created many echo chambers, and people love echo chambers. The thing is, they just don't know that they're in an echo chamber. But they love the echo chambers. And sadly, our political season has torn apart families. Family members won't speak to each other because every debate ends in anger or tears, or anger and tears. So they've chosen no longer to speak to one another. We have the power to change that. We have the power to change that. Our political season has pitted church members against one another. We have the power to change that. We can be countercultural. You know, there are enough people saying bad things about whomever during this heated season. What saddens me the most as a Christian is when I read social media posts from Christians with un-Christ-like tones. That's what saddens me the most. That's what gets me down every week the most. You know, when we read the New Testament letters, did you know this fact? And I think we forget this fact as Christians today. When the writers wrote the letters in the New Testament, this might be new to some of us here. They were writing to Christians. They weren't writing to those who did not follow Christ. They were writing to Christians. You see, they weren't writing to unbelievers trying to convince them to adhere to a standard that was not even theirs. The writers wrote to Christians who named the name of Christ, exhorting them to be more like Christ. I think the church has forgotten that. I think we're too busy screaming at the world. The church needs to change. The evangelical church today needs to change. Our job is not to scream at the world. Our calling is to demonstrate the kindness of Jesus to a world that so desperately needs to know the love of Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change the culture. And it begins with our families and collectively as churches. What happens is this: if every family unit can cultivate a culture of kindness in their homes, it'll spread into the neighborhoods. If our churches can cultivate a culture of kindness, then from church to church, it'll spread. And then from one city to another. You see, we can't conquer the entire nation or the entire world, right? We're not going to change the world overnight. But if we, from our households and our churches, cultivate kindness, it'll spread. We're to treat one another with respect and never in a condescending way. We must never tolerate abusive behavior. Physical, verbal, emotional. Church, we must not let the cloak of our personal relationship with Jesus excuse disrespectful behavior toward us. We cannot use the cloak of our personal relationship with Jesus to excuse any type of disrespectful behavior. If you're experiencing a lack of fruit, if you're experiencing a lack of the fruit of the Spirit in your home, and maybe you might need someone to talk with, maybe you might need some resources, our domestic kindness action team is ready to help. If you're worshiping online, you see one of our representatives' name and contact info on screen. You can reach out to any member of our domestic kindness action team for prayer, for a lending ear, for resources. They're ready to help. I leave you with one final passage in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Paul writes this. He says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's kindness to us. If you're here on our campus, if you're watching from home, if you would like to experience the kindness of God through salvation today, I invite you to say this prayer with me. If you're here, would you bow with me? You know, maybe you've been watching online week after week, month after month, and you've heard me share this invitation. Maybe you haven't quite gotten to the point where you said, okay, today is the day. Maybe today is the day that you give your life to Jesus and you receive the gift of eternal life, the ultimate expression of God's kindness through His Son, Jesus Christ. If that's you today, would you pray this prayer? God, I thank you for your expression of kindness to me through Jesus Christ. I believe He died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. And today, I commit my life to following Him. Thank you for saving me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer, I invite you to send me an email. I want to celebrate with you. If you're here on our campus and you pray that prayer, I'd love if you just come up to me and share with me, "Tim, I gave my life to Christ today. Thank you for worshiping with us today. And again, later today when I eat this bar, I'd gladly share it with you, but it's just too small for all of you. It's mine. I will think of God's kindness. In a moment, when we close, for those gathered here, greet one another with a warm air hug, all right, with plenty of room in between. We want to make sure everyone's safe, so just give each other a nice air hug. For those worshiping online at home, embrace your loved one for us. Give them a big smooch, all right? God bless you. Be kind. Have a spirit-filled week. We'll see you next week.